Joining me in the studio now is Mayor-elect Rob Ward. And Rob, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you. And thank you to you, George, and thank you to KCST Radio for allowing me to be part of your Our Town program this
yeah,
December.
I wanted to bring you in because, you know, I know others like me. I mean, before this last election, I didn't really know Rob Ward. You know, I didn't know because I hadn't been here long enough, and it had been a few years since you'd been mayor. Of course, you had done stuff down in Dune City and that, too. But tell me a little bit about your background and what you do for a living, because obviously you still have to work, right?
I still work. As I tell people, I keep working so I can earn a living to be able to be a mayor. But my wife and I, Kathy, we moved to Florence, and I told Kathy we'd be here for 4 years, and that was in 1974. And obviously, we never quite left. I came here working for Champion International up in Mapleton. I was a logging engineer. My background is I have a degree in forest engineering from Oregon State. And then in 1985, Champion closed and told us all goodbye. We all got our pink slips, I guess you could say. And that's when I started, at that time, Ward Northwest Land Surveying. And I am a land surveyor. I've been licensed in Oregon since 1976 and have been practicing in a private practice here in Florence since 1985.
What kind of educate me? What goes into land surveying? I know you probably use a transom and things like that, or is that a old school stuff?
No, actually, we still use what looks like a transit.
Transit, yeah.
But as you can imagine, when I started land surveying, we actually pulled a tape.
Yeah,
and. But it's progressed as technology has to where today I use what's called a robotics total station. And what that allows me to do is I set up my transit on a tripod over a control point, set up a backsight, and then I can walk around and nobody has to be at the instrument. The transit, it follows me around electronically, and I have a computer that talks to it, and it'll tell me whatever I ask it in terms of land surveying, whether I'm laying out I lay out a lot of foundations for homes here in Florence, as an example. Mm-hmm. And so it tells me where to go to put the hub in the ground and put the tack in the hub. And usually our points are within a quarter of an inch of where they're supposed to be.
Wow.
And the contractors like that because they know their foundation is square, and they also know it meets any setback requirements that are required as part of the house they're building.
I'm willing to guess, though, that when you did it with a tape, you were probably pretty close, too.
We were pretty close. But, you know, I think back, and, you know, we actually, when we would be running a boundary line, especially in the woods, I used to do a lot of timber boundary surveys. And, you know, we would keep track of the temperature because a steel tape would expand and contract with temperature. So we would actually apply adjustments for that. We also had pressure gauges at each end of the tape that we would use to hold the tape. And when we pulled the tape, we always wanted about 20 pounds pressure on the tape so it was consistent. So we were getting consistent measurements. Of course, that's all gone now with electronic measuring because it just, you know, we just hit a button and the instrument fires a beam to the reflector and bounces it back and tells us how far it is.
I don't know why it is, but every time I use a tape, I'm about a 16th to a 32nd of an inch off because that little lip on the tape moves just a hair, you know, and it just kind of confuses me.
Yeah, there, but it's been fun. Between here and Mapleton, I've probably walked up and down most of the hills.
There you go.
Running boundary lines for timber companies. In fact, if you're driving from Florence to Mapleton and you see a line that's a timber type change where you have tall trees on one side and short trees on the other, well, that is a result of a boundary line. And I was probably one of the people that ran that line.
That's pretty cool. I love that kind of stuff. It always amazes me that that you can draw out, you know, a map that matches what the surveyor had said many years ago, and you can duplicate that even today. That's cool stuff. Well, about being a mayor, though.
Okay.
You were a mayor a couple decades ago.
Yep.
And were things different? I mean, I guess they were. I mean, everything was different. But I mean, what was it like back then as opposed to what you're perceiving might be today?
Well, you know, back then, Florence was a great community. And today it's a great community. It's I feel very blessed to be able to live in the Florence community and to be part of the Florence community. We had issues back then that are probably similar to what they are now in terms of housing. When I first moved to Florence, the only retirement community of any size was Green Trees, and they were just building the west side at that time. Florentine didn't exist. And then in the early 90s, Florentine came into play. In fact, I did probably for about half of Florentine Estates, I set all the property corners and laid out that for the developer of the property.
So that's it's interesting to think that we still have housing issues today, but that there were housing issues back then too. So not much has changed in that area.
You know, one of the things we did, I want to continue this, is we always back then, and I think we have for the most part now, I think Joe Henry's done a good job, we celebrate our achievements. You know, back then our achievements were we paved Spruce Street while I was mayor, and we formed an LID, a limited improvement district, and everybody signed off, and we were able to pave that street. And when we paved the street, we had a parade celebrating paving Spruce Street.
Wow.
Because it used to be a gravel road.
That's cool.
And you know, that's definitely one of the types of changes. I was involved in build the construction and design of Miller Park.
Right.
And I've always whenever I go into that park and see people in that park, it makes me feel good. Because I can think back of when it was a drive-in. Because that's what, I don't know if you knew that, but that's what it was before it became Miller Park.
Well, I knew that that we were involved for a time of doing movies in the park. I think trying to keep that theme alive.
The theme.
There, yeah.
And
they
the park came about because it was kind of interesting. The city of Florence, this was back before I was directly involved in the city, they developed a subdivision on a piece of property that they owned. I don't even remember where it was. But after they developed the subdivision, they found out that that subdivision had a little caveat with it, the property, that it was supposed to be a park. And it was dedicated to this, or given to the city with that in mind, by a man named George Melvin Miller, who is the park. Our park is named after that.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up... So the city decided that we could make Miller Park what it is today, and we would name it George Melvin Miller Park. And I remember I'm trying to think of the lady's name who was the planner at the time. Her last name was Laura Gillespie. She was the planner, and her and I went down to Coos Bay and met a great-granddaughter of George Melvin Miller and got their permission to use his name to apply to the George Melvin Miller Park here in Florence today.
Well, I asked you to kind of give me a little bit of what you were thinking for the upcoming thing, but no, I really love the fact that I get history because, I mean, you know, there's so many of us out here that live in Florence now that weren't here, you know, when some of this stuff was going on, and it's good to hear, you know, some of the things that have happened over the years and the changes and how things became the way they are. So that's really cool. I appreciate that. Yeah.
No, but I'm in terms of the next 2 years, I'm excited. You know, it's interesting. I've always found it to be a very humbling experience to be elected to an office because there's a lot of people putting a lot of trust in you. And I've always, when I was the mayor of Florence before, and as I move forward to become the mayor of Florence again, I view that as a position of responsibility. And I will never view that as a position of power. In fact, I usually tell people that are involved in committees or involved in homeowners associations where you see it the most is, if somebody comes in as a president of something, And if they think they're in a position of power, it usually has a very rocky road. Has a very rocky road. Yeah. But if they assume it as a position of responsibility, it usually works very well.
Well, and the thing is, too, I mean, people can have differences of opinion, but if they share a common goal, they can usually find a way to make things work.
And, you know, I'm excited about our council that we have. Bill Meyer, Sally Wants as incumbents and who weren't up for re-election this time, and then Joe Boudreau and
Robert Karp.
As our new additions to the council. I think that's going to be a great group. I like the diversity that's in that group. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always found, and I've said this during my campaign, that it's amazing what you can accomplish when you bring together a group of people with different temperaments, talents, and convictions and create a healthy environment for discussion. And the outcomes are quite amazing.
Well, that's good because you have to have discussions. You can't, you know, not everybody can just say, yes, let's do that. You have to talk about it. You have to, you know, vet out what's going on to see what the important aspects of each thing that you're going to do are. And that's, it's good to have different looks from it. You know, someone from an art background, someone from a police and fire background, someone from a land background. You know, I mean, just all that works together and looks like we got a good group coming in.
I feel we do, and I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, one of my, we'll actually be, we have a meeting tonight with our new group that's coming up. We're having a dinner meeting, a get acquainted meeting. I wanted to pull everybody together and let everybody have an opportunity to talk amongst ourselves and each of us tell our story a little bit, kind of what we're doing here, sort of, just about where we've been, how did we come to Florence, things like that.
That's also a good sort of temperature taker of what the next few years are going to look like, too.
And I think, you know, when I was on the council before, when I was a mayor before, we had a council, I would say, very similar to the council that I'm going to be having now, with a very diverse group of people with diverse backgrounds and probably somewhat diverse areas of interest. And I think back on that, and it was amazing what we accomplished. And I think it's just because in the end, we all want what's best for Florence. I genuinely believe that. And I believe all of our incoming counselors and current counselors that are going to still be on the council, the four of them, all want what's best for Florence. And we will always work towards that. And one of my commitments is, you know, we are a democratic group. We vote. And there's five of us. And, you know, sometimes some of us might be the two on one side and the rest of the council is the three on the other. And I've always had the commitment that whatever the council ultimately decides, even if I am in the minority vote, I will do everything I can to make whatever is voted on successful because I respect the democratic process.
And that's a good thing, too. I tell you what, I want to say thank you for your willingness to serve. I know it can be a tough position at times, even with a good temperament. You know, it can still be difficult, and you know, because you and the council might all get along, but then you have the public too that gets thrown into that mix. So, thank you for being willing to do this, and good luck to you over the next couple of years.
Thank you, George, and again, thank you for having me on.
Coming up next on Our Town, we'll talk with the folks from the Winter Music Festival, which is coming up in January.